right, go ahead and turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 15, if you would, please. I'm very excited to be here with you guys tonight. I was definitely surprised when Bob told us we'd all be preaching, but I was very excited at the same time. I knew it was just a matter of time before we'd be up here, and here we are. When I found out I was preaching, I began to think about my time here in Kansas City. Now, most of you know I moved up here from Dallas, Texas, a little over 3.5 years ago. And I began to think of my time here and what I've learned. And for anyone that's been here any amount of time, you know just as well as I do, you're bound to learn something if you spend time here, specifically in the Word of God. I've learned Bible doctrine, what's important, what I believe as a New Testament Christian, and what I hold true in my life and my walk with the Lord. I've learned how to use the Word of God and, more importantly, apply it to my life to have it work for me. That was a nice change of pace. I've learned how to work with people in the Word of God and how to help them in the struggles in the areas of their life, how to make it work for them. But most importantly, I've learned a lot about myself. Hebrews 4, chapter 12, that verse talks about the different aspects of what the Word of God does in man's life. At the end of it, it says, it's a discerner of the intents and the thoughts of the heart of man. And it sure is. When we read the Bible, it reads us back. And it's a great thing because the Bible has shown me my weaknesses and my struggles and my strengths, but we need to know what our weaknesses are, where we fall short. It shows us those things, but not only that, it shows us how to fix them and improve on them and be more like Christ. And it's also showed me that sometimes I fail as a Christian. Sometimes I fail in my walk with God. Sometimes I walk away from it. Tonight I want to preach to you guys on the prodigal son. And before that, Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16 says, "A just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again, but the wicked fall into mischief." See, I don't think maturity or strength of a Christian is dependent or measured by how many times he falls or even for how long he's fallen down. But it's measured by how many times he's willing to get back up after he's fallen. And let's be honest, we're not perfect. I'm not perfect. The Lord's still working on me every day of my life if I let him. And I know I have a tendency to fall sometimes, but it's in those moments, what am I going to do? Am I going to get back up? Now, I want to preach on the prodigal son. This is a very personal passage to me because it's something that the Lord's shown me in my own life and proved it to be true. For me, it's a great picture that shows the process of a Christian who walks away from God. It shows a few different aspects that are very important. It shows the consequences of a Christian that walks away from God. It shows what it takes for you to get back to him. And lastly, it shows the restoration of a relationship. Now, let me clarify what I mean when I say we walk away from God. What I mean is this is in regarding to your relationship with Christ. A, you're either walking with God, you're reading his word, you're trusting it, you're studying it, you're being obedient to it, and God's using you and he's working your life through his word and your obedience. Or the contrast of that, you've removed the Bible from your life. You're no longer operating on what God says is right, on his principles, on truth. You're now operating on your own terms and your own circumstances. And if you've read any Bible, you know that's a dangerous spot to be in. So we're either in fellowship with God or we're not. And it's good. Like I said, I've learned a lot of great things here. And it's good I've learned those things, but there's no value, there's no worth. I can't do anything with those if I'm not walking with the Lord. The Bible I have, the doctrine, the truth, the principles, they mean nothing if I'm not walking with them. Amen. So let's just jump right into it. Pick it up in verse 11. And he said, "A certain man had 2 sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." So, I mean, right off the bat, we see the son's getting busy. I mean, in verse 13, it says he gets his portion, he gathers everything he's got, he heads out of the father's house and he starts wasting away. Now I've got a question for you guys. I don't know, how many of you guys ever just woke up one day and said, "Well, I'm going to take a trip to Hawaii, maybe Fiji, maybe I'll go to Oregon, hit the mountains, do some snowboarding, something like that." Right, just some spontaneous idea. How often do we do that? How do you even know you want to go to any of these destination places? Well, you don't, unless you hear about it, unless you have a friend that takes a trip out and says, man, I was just in Hawaii. The water is beautiful. The sun was out. My toes were in the sand. We were swimming with dolphins. It's great. Or you see an ad on TV where they make it look like a paradise, right? Get away for a weekend. That's how you see it. And then you tell yourself, oh, man, I could see myself there. Boy, I tell you, it looks nice out there. I bet I could take some time off work. I don't have any responsibilities out there. I can do whatever I want if I could just take a trip out there. Man, that sounds nice. And then you start to plan it. My point is, when we walk away from God, it's not just some spontaneous idea that pops in our head when we wake up one morning. At some point in time, we hear or we see something that seems a little bit better, that seems nice, it looks good, right? Who knows the phrase, not everything is as it seems. Some things look good, but they're not always what they seem. Ultimately, why did the son leave the father's house? I believe it was because he wasn't content with what the father had, with what the father had given him. Again, he thought he saw something better. He thought there was something better out there for him. I could see it now. Man, there's too much work here. There's too much discipline, too much responsibility, too much accountability. All I do is work. I do everything I'm told. Man, I deserve a break. I need to go to that far country. I heard about it. It looks good. I can spend some time there. I deserve it. Give me my portion, Father. Give it to me. It belongs to me, right? And then he says he goes off into a far country. That far country for you and me is going to be a picture of the world. It's a picture of a man who's removed God from his heart and he's operating on his own understanding, making his own decisions. That's what that picture is, just simply removing this book from your life. Now, it says he wasted his substance on riotous living. Man, this guy's out spending that money his father gave him. He's having parties. He's buying nice toys. He's going and see shows, eating fancy dinners, and he's got some friends, too, and he's taking care of them as well. Now, we may not be out partying, smoking, drinking, and chewing or going with people that do, but let me tell you something. A life without God in time becomes riotous living. Amen. What's our portion? Well, no, it's not money. We have something far greater than that. Our portion for you and me, that's going to be the salvation in your life that God's given you for free. That portion and the blessings that God's given you. And I look around, man, I know a lot of you, we can all scream and shout about the blessings that God's given us, or how about that salvation? He spent it, but how do we waste ours? Well, we simply waste it by not doing anything with it. We keep it to ourselves. We let it sit and collect dust. What good is something? What value does something really have if you can't share it with somebody else and they can benefit from it? Right? Where is it? I guess it really doesn't mean much, huh? Think about it. How about that millennial inheritance we've got waiting for us up there? You know, we waste what's up there when we do nothing down here. For the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 14, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Man, 180, right? Man, just a verse ago, he's living his life, having a great time, partying it up. Man, he's never had such a good time in his life. And things, the tables turned just like that. Let me tell y'all something. You can walk away from God and go into a far country, but that country will only satisfy you for so long. The world will only satisfy you for so long. I said this passage is personal to me because I've been there. I've been in the world. I received my portion, my salvation, my blessings, and I walked away from God. I chose to do the things that I wanted to do. I wasted my substance on partying, drinking, friends, false relationships, just things that I thought had seemed better. They looked better. They were nice. But over time, a famine came. Those things brought problems to my life. They tore relationships apart. They tore my attitude apart. I began to be in want. Man, I'm doing all these things, and at first they seem real nice. I enjoyed them, but now they're not giving me the same satisfaction they once did. There's something missing. But no, I'm gonna keep searching for it and doing those things because it'll come back. Man, I was falling apart. I was depressed. I was lonely. I was empty. I had no satisfaction. I had no peace, no joy. My family was there. They loved me. They saw what was happening to me. And they said, Dylan, we love you. We don't know what's wrong. What's wrong? Well, guess what? They did everything they could, but they couldn't give me what I really needed. That was the Father's job. And if you're out there right now thinking there's something better, yeah, it seems good right now, but just give it some time. There's something missing. One thing I've learned walking away from God is the world always takes more than it can give you. And you always walk out with less than you went in. Verse 15, and when he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Now this guy's a slave to the world. He's working in it. Not only that, he's slopping hogs. What a job to work, right? Verse 16, and he would have fain filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Now he's eating this food. This guy's got nothing. This guy's got absolutely nothing. And guess what? No one gave unto him. How about that? The world will only take from you. It's not going to give to you. You know, I bet that wasn't the case when he had some portions. He had some money. I bet he had some friends in, right? I bet some people said, look at that guy. He's got it all. He's got some money. Hey, we need to make friends with him. Oh, yeah, come on. Let's go hang out with that guy. And sure enough, man, people are there when you've got something to give them. But as soon as you run out, so do they. As soon as what you have to offer somebody runs out, so will they. And that's not all the case, but hey, man, like, I've been there and I know what it's like. And yeah, for me, I've seen it. That's the case. Even if someone could give to him, it wasn't what he needed. It's not what the Father could give him. Verse 17, and when he came to himself, let's camp here for a minute. And when he came to himself, this is where the tide begins to turn for this young man. This guy's broken, he's got nothing, and he's got no one. The dust is finally starting to settle, the smoke's starting to clear. He's starting to wake up and realize some things. He's not thinking about himself anymore. He's got nothing, he's at the end of himself. This is his come to Jesus moment. This is when God gets you alone, you're by yourself, and you've got to think about the situation you're in, the mess you're in, because of one decision to leave the Father's house. Man, I could see him in that pig pen. Dirty, probably tore up, smells terrible, sitting with those hogs in that pig pen, laying his head up against a fence post, just sitting there. And everything gets real quiet. And he says, man, I wouldn't be hungry if I was at the Father's house. Amen. I wouldn't be starving if I was at the Father's house. I wouldn't feel empty if I was at the Father's house. My Father never took from me. All he did was give to me. He cared for me. He loved me. When I was hurting, he comforted me. Why'd I leave the Father's house? I wonder if I could go back there. I wonder if he'd take me back after everything I did. He realizes what he left for that far country wasn't worth it. And you know what? Sometimes hitting rock bottom is what you need to come to the end of yourself, to get so low where all you can do is look up. Sometimes it's the best thing that can happen to Christian's life. You say, well, why is that, Dylan? That sounds terrible. We shouldn't want anybody to get to that point. No, you shouldn't. But guess what? It gives you perspective. It shows you what you had, where you're at now, and what you left. It shows you where you need to get back. But praise the Lord, he comes to you himself, starting to wake up. You know, I wonder how long he sat in that pig pen until he came to the end of himself. What, a week, a month, an hour? For some of us, man, how long are we going to sit in the pig pen until we wake up, we come to the end of ourselves and say, I need to get back to the Father's house? How long? Don't sit there any longer than you have to. Verse 18. I will arise and go to my Father's house, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Man, right here we see a change in heart. We see a change in his heart. First he comes to the end of himself. He sees the mistakes he made, and now he sees the change in heart. He wants to do what's right. And if you want to get back to God, you got to get this thing right. It's not about the actions. It's not about the actions, what you do. You could do the same stuff. You can go back to God and get in fellowship, look good. But if the heart's not in it, it don't mean nothing. It means nothing. Verse 20. And he arose. This is it right here. This is it right here. You know what? You can walk away from God. You can get in a mess. Come to the end of yourself and say, oh man, I see what I did wrong. I know what I got to do to get back to the Father. This wasn't worth it. You can even say, look, I'm going to get up and go to my father. But until you get up, that means nothing. It's all talk. And as far as I'm concerned, you're still dead. You're still spiritually dead. You're sitting with those pigs in that pig pen. Right? It's all talk. You got to get up. Verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell upon his neck and kissed him. If this isn't a great picture of your heavenly father right here, y'all. When he was a great way off, he saw him. You know what? I don't believe that that father just continued about his business with his everyday life when that son left. I think he was worried. It's his son. He cared for him. He nurtured him from a baby. I believe that father was praying for his son. Lord, take care of him. Please keep him. Keep him safe. I bet that father was sitting on that front porch every night, every day, just waiting for that son, looking for him. And I believe that father saw the son before the son saw the father. Keep in mind, God's watching everything you do, and he sees when you're coming back. He sees you. You might think, man, I don't think the Lord wants me back. Hey, no, he's looking for you. He's looking. Get back to the father's house. And when he was a great way off, he saw him, and he had compassion. You know, the father didn't say, you idiot, I knew you'd be back. Yeah, how was the time in that far country? Did it work out for you? Told you so. And that money I gave you, where is it at? Where'd you spend it? That's mine. No, he didn't do that. He had compassion. He had grace. He had mercy. He was just glad as the son was home in one piece. That's it. And ran. Man, not only that, man, the father sees him and he runs to him. You know what? This son was filthy. He was raggedy. He probably smelled bad, looked terrible. But the father met him where he was at. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how bad you think you are. How far you've fallen from God. You think there's no way back? No, Lord, I'm too dirty. I've done too much bad. Hey, he'll take you where you're at and he'll meet you there. How about that? We ought to be like this to others. You might know a prodigal right now. Might be a brother, a sister, your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter. You might see a prodigal, and you know what? They might be living for themselves, and you know the destruction that's coming their way. That's okay. Let them go. Let them go in that far country and see how they do. Trust me, just give us some time. Give us some time. But for the time they're gone, you better be sitting there. You better be waiting and watching for them, ready to receive them, have some compassion. Don't just beat them over the head and say, you idiot. You know how much trouble you caused me? I've been worried sick. Why, Dylan? Why? Why shouldn't I do that? They deserve it. Hey, you do it to your heavenly father, and he don't do it to you. He receives you where you're at. He doesn't hold it over your head. He doesn't hold your sins or your failures over your head. Man, come on now. Verse 21. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Man, this son's heart's right. He gets right with the Father. He apologized. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Look, when you get back to the Lord, when you want to come back, you better get right. You better tell him, hey, Father, I'm sorry. And be specific. Don't say, hey, Lord, I'm sorry for walking away. I'm glad to be back. No, hey, Lord, I'm sorry for wasting my time on earth with the things of this world. I'm sorry for taking your name and running to the ground. I'm sorry for not appreciating your word. Be specific. Let him know you're sorry. That heart needs to be right. He just wants to get back in the house. He knows. He says, I don't even deserve to be called your son. I just want to be back in the house with you, Father. Let's look at the father's response to this. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Father clothes him, covers him. That boy doesn't deserve it, but the father knows, hey, I know you messed up, you did wrong, but hey, you're back with me now. I'm sure that boy had everything he needed, everything he had when he left. It's pretty interesting, the three things that he's given. I can imagine that father calling his servant and saying, hey, servant, come over here. Look, look, my son's been out in the world. He's filthy. He's dirty. He's covered in tattoos. He's been sinning. But look, he made it right with me. I forgave him. It's all good. Get him a robe. Matter of fact, get him the best robe. Hey, that really white robe. Cover him up. He's clean now. I got him. He said, that ring that's got my seal on it, go ahead and put that on his finger too. So when people see him and they see that ring, they know he's back with me. I've got him covered. And man, his feet are tore up. They're tender. He's been walking in the world, stomping places he shouldn't be. I don't want him to look down and remember those things. Get some feet on, get some shoes on his feet, because he's walking with me now. 23 to the end. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Man, if that ain't something to celebrate, to be happy about. My son was dead and is now alive. You might be that prodigal. You might be spiritually dead. I don't know. But you don't have to be. You don't have to be in that far country. Rise up. Get up. Get to the Father's house. But no one can make you do it. There's not a lifeline. There's not a prayer group. There's not an accountability group that can make you do what's right. Praise the Lord, we've got a church and a pastor that provides those things to help us. But at the end of the day, it's your choice. What are you going to do? Are you going to get up? Are you going to stay down there with the pigs? And just because you go to a Bible-believing church, just because you show up Sundays and Thursdays, that don't mean you're at the Father's house. That don't mean you're at the Father's house, because, hey, guess what? The Son may have physically left the Father, but his heart was gone long before his body was. So where's your heart? That's what it's about, guys. Where is your heart? I want to leave you with one last thought. I look around here and see a lot of great people and some amazing testimonies. And you know what? God brought you here for a reason. I don't doubt that. But you know what? He used somebody to get you here. He used somebody to get you here. For me, it was my family, my grandfather, my family right here. This man right here, Bob Alexander. Yeah, you know what? Imagine if this guy right here, considering all that he's gone through in his ministries, and if you've heard stories, you know he's been through the ringer. Imagine if he said, you know what, this is too hard. I can't do it. I'm going to walk away. Are we going to be here? Are we here if that's the case? No, if Bob Alexander drops out of the ministry and walks away from God for good and never gets up, I don't think any of us are here. And what I mean to say by this is, look, hey, don't stay down. Get up. Get to the Father's house, because you know what? Somebody down the line is going to need you. And if you aren't walking with the Father, man, that person's probably who, he might be going to hell. He might not have a Father in Christ to take him in and be there. So that's my message, is get up, get to the Father's house, be faithful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for the power of your word and just for your grace and your mercy, Lord. Pray, Lord, that this message would be a blessing to your people, Lord. Thank you for taking us where we're at, meeting us where we're at, and clothing us, Lord, and giving us everything we need to walk with you again. I pray blessings on the rest of the preachers tonight, and for us to get something from this and use it. In Jesus' name, amen.